Well, good morning. Welcome to worship here at Calvin Christian Reformed Church this morning. It's good to see all of you with us this morning, and it's good to see so many visitors. I know there's a lot of families traveling with Thanksgiving, and we pray a special blessing upon you this morning as you are with us, and we pray that we would all see Jesus together this morning. Before we begin our worship, a few announcements in your bulletin. Today we have our nursing home ministries. We will be at Prime Living at 1:30 and then at Plymouth Manor at 2:15, and we invite you to join us in that opportunity. It's always a good time with the people there. They enjoy the song and the fellowship and the little sermon. So if you have an opportunity, I would encourage you to think of joining us at that time. There's a note in the bulletin about Sunday school for the high school and children's groups. December 24th, 31st, and January 7th, there will be no high school Sunday school or children's Sunday school. Council meets tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock p.m. And we are looking for volunteers to decorate the church for Christmas, and we're going to be getting started on December 2nd, Saturday, at around 10 a.m. So if you have a few hours of spare time, you'd like to come help decorate, we would encourage your participation in that. We're going to have Christmas poinsettias this year. We're going to be decorating the sanctuary with those, and if you would like to purchase one for the church, the cost is in your bulletin, and you can see Mary Van Hill. And make sure you do that by next Sunday, December 3rd, okay, next Sunday. So if you want to get a poinsettia, act now, okay? That's all as far as our announcements this morning. Would you stand now for our call to worship? As the Christian church marks time in its church calendar, this Sunday is called Christ the King Sunday, the Sunday before the beginning of the season of Advent when we prepare for the coming of the Lord. Christ the King. Hear these words from the prophet Daniel, who speaks in a vision of the coming king. As I looked, said Daniel, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow, and his hair white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. And then a few verses later, he continues, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Brothers and sisters, we enter into the presence of the triune God, the Holy Spirit drawing us in to enter through Jesus, the King, the Son of Man, who is seated on the throne with his Father. And as we enter into the presence of this God, we sing together our opening song of worship, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Thank you.
And as we come into God's presence singing that hymn of praise, God greets us with these words this morning. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. And as we receive God's gracious blessing of invitation, we bow our knees and we confess our sins before him, saying together our prayer of confession this morning. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Brothers and sisters, we serve a God who is a merciful God. So hear now this word of assurance. The Apostle Paul says that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom each one of us is chief in our own way and in our own kind. He himself bore our sins on his very body on the cross, that we might be dead to all that is evil and alive to all that is good. And Jesus says to you this morning, if you have confessed your sins, Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And having received that assurance of peace from Jesus, we now turn to each other. And in Jesus' name, we pass on that assurance, that peace to one another, greeting each other in Christ's holy name.
Thank you. this often, Lord says, I myself will search my sheep and look after them, as the Lord looks after his scattered flock when he is with them. So will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they are scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them up from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, and the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lay down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in the rich pastures on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring them back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you shoved with the flank and shoulders, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. I will save my flock, and there will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my shepherd David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be the prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm reading this morning is from Psalm 100, and we will read it responsively together. I will begin, and you will respond in the bold. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
gospel reading this morning and the passage for our sermon is found in Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. And if you're visiting with us this morning, we always read the gospel reading from the center of the congregation because it symbolizes that Jesus Christ came down from his throne on high and he became one of us. He entered into our midst. So hear now the words of Jesus near to you in your very heart. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry, or feed you, or thirsty, and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.' They also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?' He will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." Brothers and sisters, this is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Brothers and sisters, as I said, today is Christ the King Sunday, the final Sunday before we begin the season of Advent preparing for Christmas. Would you pray with me this morning that God's word would enter into our hearts this morning? Will you pray with me? Holy Father, hear our cry. We need Jesus. And we long to see Jesus. We pray this morning that through your Spirit, you would open our eyes to Christ, that you would challenge us, that you would convict us, and that you would forgive us in Jesus. Help us to see Jesus, we pray. In Christ's name, in the power of the Spirit, amen. So, Some of you may know that when I was in junior high and high school, my greatest aspiration was to be an animator for Disney. I was very into art. I spent many hours sketching and painting, sculpting. Ask my mother. She has reams of paper with paint and stuff on it. She has sculptures still downstairs in my former room. But I had a bit of a problem. I was a fairly decent artist, but when it came time to actually paint with color, nothing went right. I could do black and white. I could do sketches with pen and ink. I could use pencil to great effect. But when it came time to put the color in, suddenly everything went flat. It didn't look so good anymore. I had one painting, though, that I did, a mountainscape, and for some reason the color looked great, and I couldn't figure it out. The mountain was blue. Behind it was the sort of dawn orange in the sky, and it popped. Well, to help me out, my mother bought me a few books on color theory for artists. Now, if you didn't know it, there is an actual sort of theory behind how artists actually construct paintings. There are certain tricks of the trade. And the main sort of trick is this idea of complementary colors. Okay? It's a very simple idea. There are three primary colors: blue, red, yellow. Okay? Three. Blue, red, yellow. And you think of them kind of in a triangle, like on a wheel. So we'll put blue up here, we'll put red here, and we'll put yellow here. If you want your paintings to pop, you basically need two main colors that are across from each other on the wheel. So if we got blue, where did I put them? Anyway, blue, red, yellow. If you want something to pop, you can do yellow. And then what's going to be across from yellow? Well, there's blue, and red together makes purple. So if you have purple and yellow together, it'll pop. If you've got blue and what's across from blue? Red and yellow together makes orange. Blue and orange, that's why my one painting popped. It creates a sort of harmony in the pictures. They're opposite colors, but when you put them together, things seem to fit. A whole picture, a whole painting comes together. It doesn't look like a three-year-old dropping, you know, random colors around on a painting. Things cohere. And in our passage this morning, Jesus is painting a picture, his final picture, and he uses two complementary colors, a sort of blue, we could say, a cold kind of color, and an orange, we could say, a warmer tone that makes the picture pop with intensity, that pulls us into the picture. This is Jesus' final sermon in the book of Matthew. We've mentioned this the last few weeks. He's told his final parables, and now there are no more parables. He ends his final sermon with Judgment Day. And he paints the picture of Judgment Day with these two colors, one drawn from the book of Daniel, and one drawn from the book of Ezekiel. We read both of them today. Daniel, the vision that Daniel had of one like a son of man, the cloud rider, the roiling mass of clouds jetting up towards the court of the Ancient of Days who sits enthroned on a throne wreathed in flame and fire. And you see in Daniel's vision, this is in the midst of a chaos of beasts with eyes and horns, rulers of the earth, nations, powers in this world, powers that seek to assert themselves to say that they are the ones in control of the destiny of the planet. They are the ones who will stomp on whoever they will to get whatever they want, whenever they want it. And yet, when Daniel's eyes are opened, he sees the reality. The reality is that power and dominion belong to the Ancient of Days, surrounded by his myriads of angels, all falling down in praise and admiration for the power and glory of the Father seated on the throne. And dominion also belongs to the Cloud Rider, the one like a son of man, the one who comes and takes his seat on the throne with the Ancient of Days, and is given an everlasting kingdom that cannot be taken away, given rule and authority and power and dominion. And Jesus paints with this color at the first part of his description of Judgment Day, this color of cold power, of a king enthroned in glory. When the Son of Man comes, he says, to judge the earth. One color. But then Jesus adds a second color to his picture of Judgment Day to make it pop, to draw you into the story of what will be. We could say it's maybe a warmer color. The image of the vision of the prophet Ezekiel. In those days, says God, I will give them a shepherd king, a new David, who will rule over the people with fairness and justice. And like a shepherd, he will seek out the lost and the lame. He will bind up the broken. A shepherd whose heart is filled with mercy, mercy and love, tenderness towards the downtrodden. And yet also, the warm color orange can also be a symbol of fire, right? A shepherd who is furious at the sheep, the fat sheep, who have gobbled up the grass for themselves and then tromped down the rest so that the limping lambs cannot get a bite. The goats who gargle the water and suck it down at the stream and then dance and splash around in it, stirring up the mud so that none else can sip. A shepherd who is concerned with mercy. And so Jesus takes these two images and puts them together. One like the Son of Man, the cloud rider, the one with power and dominion and authority, and one like a tender shepherd who cares for the brokenhearted, the unimportant sheep. When the Son of Man comes in judgment, says Jesus, with all of his angels, all the nations of the earth will be gathered to him, and he will judge them. He will divide. This cloud-riding shepherd king will divide between sheep and goats. The sheep he will put on his right, and the goats he will put on his left. And there is only one criterion of judgment that the shepherd king will use, the cloud rider will use. And it is the criterion of mercy. The bewildered sheep on the right, come, blessed of my Father, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was a refugee and you took me into your family. I was a convict and you visited me. I was sick and you checked in on me. And the sheep were bewildered. When did we do this? When, Lord? When did we take care of you in any of these ways? And the king will smile and say, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers or sisters, when you did it to one of the unimportant people, you did it to me, one of the powerless people, you did it to me. But then the goats on the left, depart, you accursed, into the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and thirsty and naked and a refugee and a convict and sick, and you did nothing for me. And rearing up on their hind legs, the goats will protest. Ah, but Lord, when did we not do something for your cause? When did we not do big things for you? When did we not take care of you, Jesus? And the king will say with a frown, when you did not do it to one of the unimportant people, when you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me. The goats have a problem. The problem is, as the commentator Frederick Dale Bruner puts it, they are concerned about big things. They are concerned about big people, big causes for God, doing them in a big way, but not particularly worried about the unimportant, the least of these. And this fits with the theme of Matthew's gospel as a whole. Matthew's gospel is unique in that there is a consistent drumbeat to Jesus' teaching throughout the gospel of Matthew. Matthew is the only gospel where Jesus quotes Hosea chapter 6, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." Twice in Matthew's gospel, Jesus uses this phrase, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." In fact, Richard Hayes, the New Testament scholar, has pointed out that if you look at Matthew's gospel carefully, you will see that the entire law, Jesus reads through the lens of mercy. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. He begins his sermons and the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes, which includes, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And then in Jesus' final sermon in Matthew now, Judgment Day, mercy as the criterion. Mercy to the least of these, to the unimportant people. But the goats have a problem. They're about big causes. They have done great wonders for the Lord. "Lord, Lord, have we not done all this for you?" But what about the unimportant people? What about the least? The ones who can't give you anything back. The ones who have no power in this world. The ones who may not even be able to return your gift with thanks. Jesus paints this picture before us of Judgment Day. A vivid painting with complementary colors. The king on high, the cloud rider, and the tender shepherd who cares about the least. And he places the picture before us this morning, and he asks the simple yet difficult question, are we sheep or are we goats? Are we merciful or are we lacking in mercy? "Oh, but Jesus, we have been about your big causes. We have fought for your kingdom. We have converted princes. We rub elbows with the powerful." The cause, the kingdom of God, we fight for it. We fight the culture wars for you, Jesus. And Jesus asks, but what about the least of these? What about the unimportant people? Do we as Christians in North America really care about the unimportant people? I'm not talking about the photo ops or the sort of obvious. I'm talking about the people who are hidden in the shadows, ordinary, who are easily stepped on. Do we really care? I wonder. I wonder when I hear on the radio pastors who are evangelical pastors, who have preached the good news of Jesus for years, get on the radio and say, "I'm good friends with Judge Roy Moore. Good friends. He's a godly man. He's a godly man. He believes in the Ten Commandments." Well, apparently not. Seven women Seven women. He assaulted me when I was a teenager. And let me tell you something about sexual assault victims. They do not come forward easily. There is a shame attached to that. This is no conspiracy. And these pastors should know better. Oh, well, even if it's true, we need the votes in Congress to overturn Obamacare. Never mind the unimportant people that we can step on in the process. The cause! The cause! The cause. But what about the least of these? The unimportant women. The little girls. He was banned from a mall. It's on public record. They banned him from a mall because of his predatory behavior. Oh, well, you know. I mean, you know, he came back from Vietnam and there weren't enough women his own age around here. And besides, young girls, they're so pure. Why do they say these things? Why do they defend him in these moments? Because power. He's going to be powerful if he gets in. The cause. We can take back America for Jesus if we just have enough votes in the Senate. The cause. Do we really care about the unimportant people? The ones who are easily stepped on? Or do we care about the cause? The big thing. The big people. Have you ever noticed any time a new president takes office, all sorts of pastors milling around them? Doesn't matter if they're Democrat or Republican. There's always some religious figure more than happy. Oh, well, if I'm close enough, I might be able to influence things. I might be able to, you know, push things towards Jesus' kingdom. And then busy overlooking and finding ways around things that are not Christian in any sense. Do we care about the least of these? Oh, sure we care when it's someone on the other side. Ah, Bill Clinton, he raped all those women. Yeah, poor women. But do we really care about those women, or do we care about the political point we might score? About the power? About pulling the lever of power? The least of these. The least of these. The unimportant people. This is a hard passage. Jesus' painting is difficult. Because if we are honest, we will find that we all have a little bit of goat in us. This has been the thing that the church has struggled with from the beginning. What does James say in his epistle? Ah, a rich man comes into your church. Oh, you sit over here. Yeah, you, right here. The poor man comes in. Back. Stink. Right? Power here. Unimportant back there. This has always been the struggle of the Christian church. And so in this moment, our heads fall to our chests, and we bow the knee before the cloud rider, before the shepherd king, and we confess, Lord, you are just. We're goats often. We like the power. We like the prestige. We like being close to those who can, you know, change things. Yeah, the unimportant people. Lord, how often are we goats? When have you been hungry in any sense and we've fed you? When have you been thirsty and we've given you something to drink? When have we been there when you were naked and given you clothing? When have we been there when you were a refugee? When did we take you in? When were you a convict or sick and we visited you? We weren't. And it's in that moment with the tears streaming down our eyes, that we feel a hand on our chin, tilting our face up to look at the cloud rider, the shepherd king. And it is the torn hand of the least of these, the bloodied hand of the crucified one, the unimportant Galilean carpenter. And he says, your sin is great, but I am mercy. You are hungry, so I will feed you with the bread of heaven. You are thirsty, so I will give you the cup of salvation. You are naked, so I will cover you with my righteousness. You are an alien, a refugee to the covenants of promise, and yet I will bring you into my family. You are weak, sick, a prisoner, a convict of your own sin, your own selfishness, and yet I will set you free. Because I am mercy. Brothers and sisters, this vivid painting that Jesus sets before us, there is hope there. In the midst of the difficulty, there is hope because it is Jesus who is the judge. There's not a happy Jesus and a sad Jesus. There is one Jesus who is mercy, the shepherd who binds up the brokenhearted. But if we shake our fists, when didn't we do that? When didn't we take care of you in the least of these, Jesus? And all we have is judgment. But Jesus is merciful. Brothers and sisters, cling to Jesus. He is our hope. At the end of the day, he tells us these things. He paints these pictures for us to bring us to the place where we do say, when did we do this, Jesus? We have been unprofitable servants. Remember, that's the cry of the sheep, the brokenhearted sheep. When did we take care of you? We have failed miserably. And yet he says, come, blessed of my Father, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our hope because he is the judge. And that is good news even on judgment day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I would invite you to stand now for a song of response. Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love. may be seated. It is now time for us to come before our God in our morning prayer as we gather our hearts as one and we offer our sorrows, our cares, and our love to our Heavenly Father. Will you pray with me this morning? Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This morning, Lord, we bow our knee before you and we confess our sins again. We confess, Lord, that we often struggle with mercy for the unimportant people. Lord, how we love power, how we love prestige and influence, and how we congratulate ourselves on how we are building your kingdom brick by brick. And yet often over the bodies and souls, the broken bodies and souls of the unimportant people. Forgive us, we pray. Teach us to be merciful. Teach us to be like Jesus. Teach us to be sheep. Your power is great, O Lord. And so take our goaded hearts and make us like lambs. Work your miracles among us, we pray. We give you thanks and we give you praise that even though often we are filled with a lack of mercy, Jesus Christ is mercy itself. And so we cling to Jesus and we give thanks that he will feed us, that he will give us to drink, that he will clothe us, that he will visit us, that he will take us in. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you. Father, this morning, as we have gathered our hearts together, we pray for those who are sick among us, struggling in different ways. Lord, we pray for John and Mary Van Hill's daughter, Sandra, with her bone cancer. Lord, draw near to her. Heal her, we pray. Lord, we pray for Karen DeLapp's mother. She struggles with ALS. We pray, Lord, that you would give her peace and strength for these days. Be with her and her family. We continue to pray for Greg Smith, and we are so thankful, Lord, for the ways in which your grace has been upon him in his life. We pray that you would continue to fight the cancer on his behalf. We pray for Glenda Hoffman, Lord, with her lungs. We pray for our other shut-ins. We think of Patty Ritzema, Margaret Hopp, Denise Masterbergen, Jan Sneller. We pray, Father, that you would be with each of them. Bless them, we pray. This morning, Lord, we also continue to pray for Sioux Center Christian School and all of the victims there as that community seeks to rebuild itself. We pray that you would go ahead of them and that Jesus, the Shepherd King, the one who binds up broken hearts and cares for the little lambs, would care for the children who have been caught up in this, who have been sinned against. We pray, Lord, this morning for our politicians. Lord, grant them a sense of justice, and may they remember that they bow the knee to you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that you care for the least of these, give them a sense of humility and help them to do their duties in reverence and in fear, a godly fear. Father, this morning we pray for the brokenhearted in the pew as we pray each week, for those who struggle with their own fears, with their own cares. Draw near to them as a gentle shepherd and heal them, we pray. Father, you have revealed yourself to us through the Spirit in Jesus. And so now we take Jesus' own words upon our lips, the Shepherd King's words upon our lips, and we pray together his prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. At this time, I would ask the deacons to come forward and to take our offering. Brothers and sisters, will you stand for God's parting blessing? As you go out into the world in mission and in ministry to love and to serve God, go out with mercy in your hearts. This is not something now where you go out and, oh, did I have enough mercy? Did I have enough mercy? Notice the sheep in the story. They weren't worried about it. They were looking at Jesus. Go out. Let the merciful Christ work through you. Feed the hungry. Give the thirsty to drink. Care for the sick. Mercy. And receive now the merciful blessing of our God, who sends you out in the grace of Jesus. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. And all of God's children said together, Amen.